Tonight it's our privilege to have Brother Milby with us again. I appreciate God letting him come.
Amen.
You give attention, he comes to preach tonight.
Second Kings chapter 5. Turn, please. You find your place if you'd stand. In respect to the Word of God, I'd appreciate it. Thank you for being in the sanctuary. Well, thank God I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
If you're not saved, I pity you, not now, only now, but for eternity that's ahead of you. I'm going to read rather lengthy. I'll begin reading in chapter 5 of 2 Kings in verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord be with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is the land of Israel." And the king of Assyria said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I've therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent unto the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, 'Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord, in this thing pardon thy servant, when thy master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing.' And he said unto him, 'Go in peace.' So he departed from him a little way." You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this happening in the Word of God. I know that if you're a Bible reader, that this Scripture is familiar to you. There's so many points here, so many things to go through and parallel leprosy to sin in a man's heart and how it creeps up on you and it gets to you and you can't hide it. If you do hide it, it'll break out somewhere else. And it's a severe thing. And this captain, this great captain of the king's army, had leprosy. And leprosy was death. It is still a terrible disease. And is nothing can be cured by nothing but the hand of God. But God had His hand in the matter. And I'm not so much concerned tonight. I know that the cure is important, that there is no cure for sin outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. That there is absolutely no relief outside of a man being born again and have his sins covered forever by the blood of Christ. And Naaman here is in a fix and has no remedy. But there's a little girl that's been taken captive and brought back, and she said to the king's wife, I wish that Naaman knew my preacher down in Israel. He'd fix him of his leprosy. And I will tell you tonight, the solution is the man of God's got a message for the cure of sin in this world. It's not in the Democrats and Republicans. It's not in the societies of this world. It's in the preaching of the Word of God. The operation of God's house and the things that go on in the church house. Christ died for the church and gave Himself for it. Didn't die for the Masons and the Mooses, but He died for the church. And if a man gets saved and lived right, it's going to take going through the church to get it done. Hello, the lodge is not going to make you do right. If you don't have Christ in your life, you get a dose of do better, it lasts a week or two or a month or two, and it's all going to be over. This man might think he's all right, and they might cover the scabs for a while, but it's going to break out on him. But the king heard and said, all right, you're going down to a preacher. I know how to get his attention. I'll send some new clothes and a new car and a chariot and some money, and they'll get him to do what you want to. But he didn't know there's still a few preachers that wasn't going to be bent by a financial gain. And thank God they're not all dead. All the Elishas are not dead. There's still a few that's not operating for money. And thank God tonight, I pray that folks right in this country will understand again that it's going to take the power of God going out over the pulpit and over a fiery altar and to breathe on sinners that they'll understand there is a better way. Came down to the king. King smarter than our presidents. King knew that he's not able to fix things. Oh, for political leaders that understand that the voting booth doesn't fix things, it's going to take God Almighty. They're scared to death of you voting and they despise anything that's got God in it. This king's smart enough. He knows he cannot heal a man of his leprosy. But Elijah, I think, in my own mind, down in a tent, heard that there's a man hunting relief. And he sent to him and said, tell him to come on down. Come on down and he'll know there's still a man of God in Israel. Listen to me. If there's no power in the pulpit, there'll be no power in the pew. If God's men lose their power, if they're living, if their kind of living steals the power away from them, there's no hope for a sinner. Are you hearing me tonight? It still takes the power to get sinners under conviction. It still takes the Holy Ghost in the church to make sinners want God Almighty. If they don't want to get born again, you can read all the Roman roads to them. You want to knock on all the doors and tell them this and that. But until the Holy Ghost moves on them, they'll never even want to get right. It is so. Now, the man comes with all his pomp and his glory down where Elisha is. And Elisha don't even go out where he's at. Isn't that amazing? Here is somebody from the king. got a new chariot full of clothes and money. And Elisha already knows it. And he's not all that interested in all that stuff. And he just tells his servant to go out and tell him to wash in Jordan. Now here's where I want to start on the message tonight. I want to preach on which river. Now, it does make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, it makes a difference where you go to church. It makes a difference what kind of Bible you read. It makes a difference who you marry. What kind of home you have. It makes a difference, my friend. Being mixed up and out in this world, I'm going to tell you tonight, it does make a difference. I'm living in a time where folks say anything goes. Marry who you please, whatever color you please. Don't make any difference, but it does make a difference. And I want to say tonight, if you're hearing in the wrong river, and no doubt some of you are, and I never preach to this large a congregation unless they're just about every kind of folk that you can think of. I've been preaching to Baptist people since 1960. I've preached to Church of God of Prophecy, Methodist, four or five different kind of Baptists, and they're all just alike. And there's sinners trying to act like saints, and saints acting like sinners. And thank God we got a few saints living like saints. It makes a difference what kind of river you're in tonight. I was reading this scripture one day and thinking about, does the Holy Ghost want me to preach on this? And I come down to the names of these rivers. And I got such a faith in this 1611 Bible that there's not a word wasted in here. There's not a direction given. The name of a river, the name of a certain animal being used, unless God's got a definite purpose for it. And so I thought I'll look up these rivers and see what they mean. Got a hold of a Bible's encyclopedia. And if you Bible students don't have that, you ought to get one tomorrow if you have to sell your coat and buy it. And I'll tell you, God opened this up to me and I thank God for it. And I looked up this word, Abana, and it said, this river is called the Golden Stream by the Romans. And it runs free and clear. And everybody wants to go there and dip in the river because of its beauty. And I said, that's exactly where the world is. I'm preaching to a people tonight that want the glory and the shining of the biggest church, the most educated preacher. They want the best clothes on the block and the best car. And they think that's success. And for their sons and daughters all to be star players on the ball team, God have mercy. Leave out of church, rather play ball as to go to the house of God. Love the coaches and the black ball players better than they do the man of God. I'm telling you what's right tonight. You'll say, preacher, I don't like it. I ain't preaching for your legs. I'm telling you what's going on in the world tonight and how we need to make some changes. I'm telling you it's not in the glory of this world. I'm telling you, Elisha said, the Jordan's what you need. Listen to me, you better investigate what the Jordan is and not be looking at the things of the world. I'm glad, thank God, I was raised poor. I knew better than to look for great things. I thought it was never for me. Didn't have clothes hardly to wear. There's clean to fizz past. But thank God I had an old dad and mama that had been in the Jordan. And they knew what they were talking about. They wasn't looking for Abana. They was looking for Jesus Christ. And thank God. Hallelujah. My dad and mama found it. And you can too if you want to. Abana's not what you need. It may be what you want. But it's not what you need. And there I know it's true. And it said, it runs free and clear. But after a while, it sinks in the desert. Are y'all following me? Now I'm going to tell you where some of you are going. If you're hunting the glory, and you're wanting the big shiny things, it'll be all right for a while, but down the road, you'll find yourself that it's all sunk on you. In the desert. And the glory will all be gone. You'll be sitting at home by yourself one of your sons a homosexual and your daughter married up with some outfit and raising children out in the world that's no account, all because you wanted the big things instead of wanting what God wants. And all the time, old Elisha's saying, the Jordan's what you need. All the time you're standing and wanting the great things, the man of God's saying, Jordan, that's the stream. The Jordan's the stream. But you say, I want the better thing. Want my children to have better things than I got. I don't want them to have better things than I had. I want them to get what I've got. Bless His name. I don't know what's down the road, but I know what I got tonight. And it's good enough and too good for this world. Amen. Whoa, I'm glad I know. Some of you has done, and I don't know y'all's lives, and some of you has been through and been in Abaddon, floated in high things, but you sunk on you in the desert. And now you're looking, and maybe you've been lucky enough that the Jordan's still accessible to you. And then I looked up this river, Pharpar, and I thought, Lord, that person is enough to turn me on. But I found out that old Pharpar comes down out of the mountains, and it starts up yonder when the snow melts, and comes down cool and clear, and runs fast. Are you listening to me? And that's what a lot of people want. They want the fast life. And get in where it's cool and everything's comfortable. And they're fighting for comfort. We want comfort in the house of God. And we don't want the preacher preaching on no hot things. Don't want him preaching on hell and getting our children all nervous. But we want fun and games and the religious entertainment. Now hear me. This ain't no joking place up behind this pulpit. When service is over, I might say some funny things to you. We'll have a good time together and keep it clean. But I want you to know when the bell rings in the house of God, it's a serious business. And this pulpit, thank God, ain't no political or voting booth. And it ain't no comedy show. It's pure business. I know it's so. Some of you's in the cool stream and you think you're comfortable. But I read down a little further, and it said, oh, Pharpar is seasonal. Said when the season changes, it goes dry. And I'll tell you tonight, some of you are running pretty cool. Everything's, you got everything about like you want it. But all that's seasonal. And when the season runs out, it's going to run out. I'm glad, thank God, I got something that's real. I'm glad, hallelujah, going to my dad and my mama, going to a liberal, modern, Southern Baptist church. My daddy's a Christian, and my mama's a Christian. They knew God, but they didn't know there's anything better. They actually didn't know. My daddy said he was called of God to pray. And I know it. That's not in the Bible, or I haven't seen it yet, but I heard him pray, and I'm still looking for it. I want to tell you, they knew better. They knew there's something. After I got saved, got called to preach, we was out on the hillside, and I said, Daddy, I want to ask you something. I was crying, he's a crying. And I said, don't you think there might be something better for you? And he said, I've been thinking it for years, but I don't know what to do. He didn't know this. An old time church anywhere in the country, and I didn't either. But thank God, while you're flopping around in Pharpar and Abaddon, we're down here in the Jordan having a good time. Bless His name. I'm glad, hallelujah. You don't have to have something that runs out when the season runs out and sinks in the desert. You can have something, praise God, that'll go on from start to finish. Amen. I thought that's pretty good on the negative side. But I'd like to know why old Elisha wanted him to go down the Jordan. And I got turned over and picked up on the Jordan River. And one of the first things it said is it starts when you get into the promised land. Hallelujah. I remember the morning that I got in the promised land. Now, the promised land's not heaven. They had wars in the promised land. And I'm going to tell you, it is a Christian life and a victorious Christian life. And I remember the morning I got in and got in Jordan. The first day I got in, I didn't look around at the Jordan too much. And I thought everybody's a Christian that went to church, and I loved everybody and still got a love for most people. And you say, preacher, don't you love everybody? Well, God don't. There's people God hates. He said so in the Bible, in place after place, that there's people He hates. And you ain't no better than He is. And don't look at me that way. I'm telling you what this King James Bible said. I know all them pretty fellas that told you all that love business. But I'm going to tell you, God's got other things besides love. Love's what God is. That's His essence. But His main attribute is not love, it's holiness. And God's looking for you tonight to walk a holy walk. Amen. But I found out after I'd been saved a few days how that everything in Jordan wasn't pretty. And you can look at the Jordan all you want to, and it's muddy. And it's crooked. And it goes up and down.
Yeah.
And there ain't much to it. There ain't no, and the Bible Encyclopedia said there ain't no industry around it. And there's nobody wanting to live on its banks. But that's where Jesus did His business. And that's where John did his business. And that's where God's still doing His business. And everybody's been saved again. Saved, thank God. They're around the Jordan. Amen. Now, I want you to look at this. With all of its ugliness, it's the lastingest thing in the country. I mean, it might go down a little bit, but it don't go down much. It might circle it a little bit and get a little wider here and a little more narrow there, but she keeps the traveling. And I'm going to tell you, when I got here, down to here, I about got up out of my seat. My wife said, what's the matter with you? And I said, I found the Jordan right here in this book and found out I've been living right in the middle of it all this year and all of my life since I got saved, and I'm happy in my heart. And this word said it's crooked, and it may be muddy and dirty, but the last 60 miles, it's as straight as an arrow. Brother, I'm 71 years old. I get to talking about the last few miles of being straight and unencumbered. I mean, no logs in the river. And thank God to pull it out straight. You know where it said it ended? When it got to the Dead Sea. Thank God that's as long as I'm going to need it. Thank God started out and I got in the promised land. Going to last till I get to the Dead Sea. Bless His name. I believe this right on in Jordan. Hallelujah. Stay with God. Makes no difference. You're over in heaven. I'll wave at you as I go by. If you're in fire, more power to you. But after a while, it's going to give out. But thank God, down yonder in Jordan, we may not look back much, but we're going all the way. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Well, I wonder which river you're in. I wonder what you've chosen for yourself. I wonder if you're in the old Jordan tonight. I wonder if it's good enough for you. I wonder if you're teaching your children that it's good enough for them. Do you care more for shiny things than you do the real stuff? We're living in a plastic age. All the gimmicks and all that kind of thing. Computers just about blow me away. I hear new things about them all the time. A couple of years ago, they finally enticed me to get a computer and take it with me to my motel room. I've had that dude 2 years, and I've got where I can turn it on and off. Nobody has to help me. That's right. And I just about leave it home all the time. I'd just as soon have a little transistor radio like we used to play. And that God help. And I don't trust the flesh enough to get on the internet. You say, you old fogey, you don't know what I think I do know what I'm missing. Same reason I don't have a TV. I think I know what I'm missing. You say, well, there's some good stuff on there. Old Brother Percy Ray said it, and I want to echo it. What do you want, a swim in the sewer 2 miles to get a good biscuit? Thank God you got a Bible. You don't have to live in fire. Thank God them rivers. And the Jordans are set up, thank God, that from the time you got in the promised land to the time you get to the Dead Sea, God set it up to be sufficient. And I know there's good things. I know that these things make life easier for some people. And I'm not preaching against being advanced and good things are coming in your life. And I know that's right. But I'm going to tell you, if you get to messing around with stuff, and I know my boys got the internet, my daughter, and they got all that stuff, and I know about what all's on them, and I'm going to tell you, I don't trust my own flesh enough to get one. You say, preacher, shame on you. No, shame on you. I'll admit it, and you won't. God help us. God help us. I'm satisfied. Y'all look up here at me. I'm satisfied with Jordan. I may be way behind times, but I don't care. Bless His name. I'm satisfied with Jesus. My granddaughter had a little old, just about the size of a baseball. It wasn't bigger than it wasn't as big as a softball. And it said something about, I know what you're thinking. And I said, no, you don't either. You're stupid. I told that little old ball is stupid. And she said, you think of a word, and I'll have this thing to ask you 20 questions, and it'll tell you what you're thinking about. That's right. And I thought of a word. It asked me 20 questions and answered the wrong answer. It wanted 5 more questions, and it got them, and it got the answer. It just about. But I'm going to tell you, I said, I can fool it. She said, I don't want to play with you anymore, Papa. You're going to mess up my machine. I was going to talk about grace and unction. You don't even know what that is, and the president don't either, and Einstein didn't either. I don't know what it is, but I know when I ain't got it. I want to tell you, great God in heaven, I'm satisfied with the Lord. I don't need anything else. I need all the help I can get. But I don't need anything but Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about the rivers tonight. I'm probably in, Brother Robert, me and you, and some more may be in them last 60 miles. It's going to straighten out for us. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid of all the licks and the knocks. I know that's part of being a Christian. Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. You say everybody down at work loves me, then you ain't living right. You say where I go down there, everybody pats me on the back and they're so glad to see me. You're joining in with them. Jesus, my Lord, said it, and it's so. If you live a true Christian life, they're going to hate you. Are you hearing me? I wonder if you want to be in Abana a while and Pharpar a while and then go down and dip in Jordan and get your conscience clear. Go to an old-time church and then get back up and well, your kids get in Abana and Pharpar. Shame on you. I'm going to tell you what, if that's the way you are, you ain't getting much done in Jordan. You may really excite the people over in Pharpar, but you ain't doing nothing in Jordan. You can't play both sides of the fence. And I just want to ask you tonight, which river are you in? Now look at me just a minute and I'll be done. I'm not a smart aleck. I don't believe in smart alecks in the pulpit. Don't believe in cussing in the pulpit. Saying off-color things in the pulpit. Ain't no God in that. But I'm gonna ask you tonight, where are you really? Just between me and you and the Holy Ghost. Would you have to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I've slipped from where I ought to be. Spend some time looking at Pharpar and Abana, the pretty things and the coolness of the world, and taking the heat off of me and getting in the wrong river. And I realize it, preacher, and I realize it tonight to the Lord, and I need to make a trip to the altar. None of my business what it's about. Just maybe that you said something you ought not, or maybe you've been somewhere you ought not to have been. You're living, maybe you've watched something you ought not to watch. And that listen to something you ought not to listen to. You'd just like to tell the Lord tonight that Jordan's good enough for you. Everybody stand if you will, please. Ma'am, if you'd come and play for us, please. Brother, if you'd sing just as I am, that one, please. Brother. I believe it'd be right. I'm glad I'm in tonight. There's a lot of people, my own kin folks, that laughed at me for being in the Jordan. Living this old, they think it's a miserable life. They don't know I'm having a better time than they are. They don't understand there's happiness in my heart tonight that they'll never know anything about. Maybe tonight, if there's been some mislicks in your life, and you need to come and say, I'm sorry, Lord. And he'll not pay no attention to you unless you're going to change rivers and mean it with all your heart. While we sing together tonight, would you obey the Lord? I'm talking to everybody here tonight. If God spoke to your heart while I was preaching, you don't come, that's judgment light on you. And you'll answer for it at the judgment. Would you be honest tonight? Would you raise your hand if you're going to be honest right here tonight? What the Holy Ghost tells you to do. You oughtn't be afraid to do that. While we sing, would you obey His voice tonight? Whoever you are, wherever you're from.